Paddy Power and the Football Show, the greatest football partnership since Diofen Heskey.
Today at the FAI headquarters in the National Sports Campus, we finally got to see the full scale of the deaths facing the FAI. The story is stark and bleak. To help us interpret the facts and figures, I'm delighted to say we have with us this evening Dr. Robbie Butler from the Department of Economics in UCC. Robbie, good evening to you. How are you doing?
Good evening, Joe. Thanks for having me.
You know, a number of headlines in terms of the 55 million figure that I think we've kind of known for about 24 hours. That was crystallised today and made clear. That's the outstanding debt at the FAI. There's a loss figure for last year, which is absolutely very stark and which suggests that the business is in trouble. Perhaps one of the key lines to take away is that Deloitte have said that they are concerned about the ability of the FAI to trade as a going concern. That was the one that struck me as the most important in all this, the fact that perhaps this might be the end of the FAI as it's currently constituted.
Well, I think there's a few elements to what you ask. I think at a general level, I think everybody that has an association or affiliation or a love of Irish soccer is very, you know, saddened by what we saw today. The overall net liability figure is worrying for an association that turns over about 45 million euros a year to have a net liability of, you know, 55 million is something that that should be of concern. I think, you know, from the point of view of the viability of the Football Association, I think we have to be careful in terms of what Deloitte are recommending. Of course, you know, they say that this is a company that mightn't be a going concern. I think, you know, this is a little bit different to, say, normal private companies that, you know, we might consider or we might look at. Because football in Ireland, well, it's administered by the Football Association, and whilst that's it is a private entity as such, it does have a public element. It receives money from the taxpayer. And it also has a public good. And the public good is something that, you know, football fans and supporters are drawn to. So despite the fact that the association that administers the game is in financial difficulty, I don't think football in this country is, simply because it's owned by the people that play it, the people that volunteer, and the people at grassroots level.
OK, I totally understand exactly the point you're making, that the sport itself will continue, but the administration of the sport by the FAI, we now see that those total net liabilities are 55 million. Why are Deloitte saying that they're concerned about the ability of the FAI to continue being a going concern?
Well, I think it's standard practice for any private company that would be in such a financial position to say that. I don't think there's anything out of the ordinary there. I think the worrying thing for the association is that, you know, an adjustment is going to be required. And I suppose just living in this country for the past decade, an adjustment was required because there was a certain amount of money coming in and there was a certain amount of money going out. And the money that going out was much more than was coming in. So if you look at the key stakeholders involved in the association, and if you look at the cost side of the business, by far the biggest is staff. And I think this is something that's worrying and it's concerned, particularly before Christmas, that, you know, if this company is to become in line, is to become viable and sustainable, it's probably going to mean, if not pay cuts, redundancies. Again, I would say, I mean, the Football Association is different in this regard, in so far as it doesn't have to be profit maximising. It certainly should be revenue maximising, so we should be trying to generate as much revenue as we can from the international teams, from sponsorship, from commercial and so on. But the objective should be to break even, and to break even with that constraint. So, you know, once we can break even, I think it becomes a different issue. It doesn't necessarily have to become profit maximising or make profit. In fact, it shouldn't. It should reinvest any money it makes into things like grassroots, into the League of Ireland, into underage football.
Talk to us about the 55 million then. I understand there's a lot of information to get through today, given that accounts for two separate years were published, and it's about 70-odd pages of quite detailed financial information to parse. But where did the 55 million come from?
It's largely bank debt, and some of the bank debt would have been the legacy of the Aviva. And I guess the issue with the Aviva was the Aviva Stadium was supposed to be debt-free by 2020, and that was something that we would have heard quite a bit. I guess some of this is a legacy of the crisis that Ireland went through. The Aviva happened to come on stream just as the Irish economy was collapsing, and much of the debt that is there now, it would never have been envisaged that Ireland would have been under such economic conditions at the time. So the objective to pay off much of that debt in the early years simply it didn't come to fruition because the economy was in a completely different place. I guess the worrying thing now is that the mortgage on the Aviva has been extended until 2034. So that's a long way from where we thought we would have been.
Can I just add on that, though? Like, there's nothing actually wrong with having a debt associated with your stadium if you can pay off the debt. Like, everybody who has a mortgage understands that you pay your mortgage off over a period of time. You make sure the repayments are within your means to pay. And ultimately, that's fine so long as the debt's serviceable, right?
Sure, but I guess the more worrying thing is that the mortgage was supposed to be paid by 2020, and now 14 years have been added to the mortgage. So what does that mean in terms of interest, in terms of the actual sustainability of the stadium in the long run? Because it's more than just the mortgage we have to pay back. The stadium gets older, it requires maintenance, and so on. And just particularly with interest on that, you know, that's essentially money that could be used for something else. There's an opportunity cost on it. So we're going to have 14 years of payments towards the stadium that could have been spent somewhere else. Now, I do accept that, yeah, it's not a big an issue if it's manageable, sure, but it's going to have to be managed for, you know, 15 years more than was originally intended.
Yeah, I think that 2020 figure was always a strange figure to have been introduced to the conversation in anyway, because like, there was always that difficulty with the Vantage tickets, there was that debt. It seemed like it was a race to get that paid off for whatever reason. And maybe that will emerge in time with some of the other reports. But as an association, if the 55 million is largely bank debt and it's now going to be spaced over 15 years, does that give them some breathing space?
Sure, and some of it, I suppose, some of it is due to the fact, and this is the net liability, some of it is due to the fact that there was difficulties paying back bank debt recently, so something that would have appeared as a long-term liability now appears as a current liability. So, you know, once that debt becomes manageable, and we believe now that the association is renegotiating debt, and I mean that's something that countries do. It's something that Ireland did quite successfully over the past 5-10 years. If that can happen, of course, it puts us in a better position. And I think this is part of the adjustment that the association is going to have to go through. So if you return a loss of nearly 9 million euros in 2018, we have to hope now that, okay, if this goes into 2019, that things will begin to recover in 20 and 21 and 22 because of the actions that have been taken. I guess, you know, going back to the international team, often people think of the FAI, they think of the senior men's international team. Obviously, it's a lot more than that. But that team is very, very important to the association in terms of revenue generation. You know, it's second only to commercial revenue. So the two games that you know, that are potentially ahead of us in Bratislava, and then, well, we don't know after that, but a final, it's of critical importance now, more so than from a footballing perspective, that we actually qualify for Euro 2020 because of the rewards associated with that in terms of broadcasting, commercial, merchandising and so on.
Yeah, and we've obviously just seen that three this week have pulled, so it'll be very interesting to see what brands do decide they want to come in and be associated with the FAI right now, and what the next shirt sponsor is going to look like, what the next shirt's going to look like. All that kind of stuff is actually key for generating some revenue to try and help them out of this maze. You mentioned the 9 million loss in 2018. What were the key drivers of that?
Yeah, sure. So there's two sides. Unfortunately, turnover is reduced by about 4 million and cost of sales, operating costs have actually risen. So what that does is it drives you to a position where you're about just 3 million to nearly 9 million in the red. I suppose, again, one caveat on that, the debt was about 5.5 million, and then there was grants to affiliates, development programs and so on. That consisted of about 3.5 million euros. So, I mean, that is something that could have been retained by the association, but it wasn't. So it's pretty much a combination of less money coming in, more money going out, that's driven this figure to be 8.9 million.
Okay. The other thing that's happened over the course of the fact that we had these two separate publications of the accounts and that they were delayed for such a long period of time was because they had to be revisited. There was so much that was in the accounts that had previously been published where not all the information was known, I think it's fair to say. That has in turn resulted in a further liability in these accounts, adding to that 55 million figure. Is that correct?
Yeah, so some of the things adjusted for in the accounts are to do with the fact that information that wasn't known prior has become known. So, for example, there's a tax liability that's now included, right? And that's a positive step because we're now planning for the future and I suppose a worst-case scenario. I guess to go back to a point you made a minute ago about sponsorship, and I think because Tree's agreement has come to an end, it's so important that we get this right now because we now want to be in a position where we have an association and, I suppose, football administered in this country that, you know, sponsorship and companies want to be involved with because they are now a crucial driver of what happens. And I think this is a great opportunity to do that, to really, you know, revisit what's happened. And let's hope this is it. I guess I suppose the one concern we would have is that something else would come to light. And my hope today is this is the end of it and that, you know, what happens from here on out is an adjustment towards sustainability and positive news.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's been death by a thousand cuts with the various stories that have come out. The one that barely even got mentioned was the fact that a second kit deal had been done and there's a few lines qualifying why they have to repay back money that they'd already drawn down. This was the Mike Ashley deal that got done and I think there's probably quite a bit more to play out when it comes to that. So I don't know if there's even a provision for liabilities or potential future liabilities down the road from interested parties around that case. Was there anything else, Robbie, when you were reading this that kind of jumped out at you as going,
no,
wow?
You know, I wasn't even familiar with that when you said it, so it really did go under the radar. No, not particularly. I think replacing Tree is going to be very, very important. Ireland obviously has a very long association. We were the first international association to ever put a sponsorship on our jersey, and I think we remain the only one. If not, there are very few others. So having Tree on the front of an international jersey or a sponsor is very, very unusual. Opel were the original case and followed on by Aircom and so on. But I think replacing them with a sponsorship that agreement that's going to be of similar standing is very, very important. I think the other thing that's crucially important is convincing the government that they can reinstate the nearly €3 million that goes towards grassroots football. In the grander scheme of things, when you're turning over 40, 45 million, you know, it isn't as significant as some might believe, but it is a significant amount of money, particularly when you're losing 8, 9 million a year.
Yeah. Just to clarify that note, I should read the note properly. This was, and actually at this stage, the accounts are all published. You can get them on the FAI website. So note 22 in the 2018 accounts. Events after the balance sheet date. In April 2019, the association became aware of an option contract with a commercial partner, which resulted in previously recognised revenue being refundable due to an option which was available to the commercial partner. That's the only reference to it, but this is clearly, they don't tell you exactly the details of the contract or anything, but it's clearly, it looks like it's clearly associated with that that story, which I think we're going to hear a good bit more about in the coming weeks. All right, Robbie Butler, thanks a million for joining us today and giving us your take on what's happened with the FAI today. Obviously, this is a developing story and we'll be continuing to follow it on offtheball.com. So stay tuned to that and to our social channels as we bring you more information. We understand that the FAI have addressed, the board have addressed staff in Abbottstown this evening as well, so not a great time for them, and I'm sure very concerning given that job cuts and pay cuts are definitely on the agenda at the moment. For more on this story, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Niall Quinn. Niall, the figures are staggering. It's current liabilities of the FAI are 57.5 million, bank debts of 29 million, a loss of 9 million in 2018 alone. As dark days go in the FAI's history, this is right up there with the darkest of them.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's just hard to take in many ways, although Paul Cook had kind of set the scene for us, and so it's not drop-dead shock. We were expecting it, and it's still very tough, though, when it comes out, and you scratch your head and wonder, how did it all get to that?
I guess for football fans out there who want to take their game back and who want to know that sometime in the future, the very existence of the organisation who is charged with growing and managing and developing the sport here isn't going to be threatened. In a way, is this actually, is there any way of spinning this around and actually thinking, okay, well, this is finally as bad as it's ever going to be? And from this point forward, because everybody knows now how bad it has been and the fact that it was allowed to get there, that surely there's an opportunity here for us to say, okay, no more.
Yeah, I think it's probably right to start thinking about the future now. And I'm sure, you know, there'll be a lot of fallout and the broom has to come now and clear out anybody associated with that performance. But I do believe it's about looking forward. And really, I think, given the grave state of finances, of the I suppose, even the culture of the game now in the country, given what's happened, I think there's one big relationship that has to be mended as fast as we can and brought into a different, new, coveted place. And that would be football in this country's relationship with the government. And how somehow is it possible to get the trust from government to come in and help the game, you know, in its you know, darkest hour, in its time when there's never been a need like it. And, you know, I've been saying for many months now that the importance of football in this country is not reflected in the monetary assistance it is given by government. I believe it's the people's game. I'm down in Limerick today and I'm speaking to people. People are stopping me who love soccer, who've played from under sixes and whose kids now are playing the whole right way through. Everybody's worried. Everybody wants to see a better time. I think government, you know, really are the key to this. But I can't blame the government. And these reports show you why government were correct not to make, you know, a better effort with football. But to get to that point, how do we clear everything out, start again, bring dynamic play, you know, into the governance and the running of the FAI that the government will be proud of and that the Exchequer can turn around and release funds to make the game, you know, I suppose, brilliant in this country again. Our facilities have gone to pot. Our league was mistreated for many years by the association. And all in all, if your elite game at the top is floundering at best or is downright ignored for the benefit of a few and around a lovely table in the marble halls of power, where it's led to, surely, you know, if football can prove itself again to the government that it is the people's game, you know, then I would hope that trust could come about an amazing turnaround, and it doesn't have to take a long time. You know, the right people in there, dynamic approaches, and not what the governance review group threw at us there, where four volunteers will come in and change everything and add to the eight people that would be in there. I really believe it's time for a root and branch change. I'm not saying there's anybody, you know, they're all bad in there. Some new people have come into play. I'm not saying that, but it's the whole approach of an association, you know, that isn't necessarily there to make profit. It's there to be brilliant for the game of football and to make us all love and cherish the game even more. If we could bring people like that into play, could we then, in football, ring up if we wanted to build a new stand like the Curragh did and ask for 58 million or Parky Queeve the way the GAA lads were running there over the allotted amount, and oh yeah, no problem, take another chunk of millions. You know, that confidence that government has, or that relationship that government has with other sports, Greyhound Racing, for instance, 16.8 million this year. You know, lovely letter from their chief thanking the government for believing in them. Why can't we build ourselves or believe in ourselves that we can get to that point where government can do the same things and make football brilliant in this country? The great thing about today is it leaves that question in the air, and if both sides can come good on that, then I would see today as a real turning point in Irish soccer history.
There's two parts of that I just wanted to talk about really and tease out. The board are obviously going to be hugely important in setting down what that vision is and inspiring people, but then you've got the rank and file staff who are absolutely devastated, I'm sure, today by what they've seen, the excess in spending, the fact that accounts that were presented 2 years ago have now had to be completely revised, where what looked like a very profitable year is going to end up being a year with significant losses in the multiples of millions. So over 2.5 million losses were reported now from a situation where over 2.5 million profit was being recorded and trumpeted. You can see how anybody who's involved in the sport as a volunteer coach or as a regional development officer or somebody working in Abbottstown going into work every day, their morale is going to be low. It's going to be very difficult for them to be part of a turnaround without somebody or without a group of people coming out and going, no, it's okay, we've got this now, that's the past, and our vision is whatever that vision is that everybody can buy in, feel like they share a part of.
Yeah, and it would be great if government, you know, put real stability in place by saying that they would support I suppose a period of time whereby no redundancies would be made and people could feel safe, particularly coming into Christmas. I mean, I know plenty of people working in the FAI, and you're so right. It's a dreadful time for them. They love the game. They cherish the game. They work hard. And to think that they were, treated the way they were, and that their livelihoods were treated as frugally as they were by the powers that be at the top, you know, some sort of response from government on this, that these people, it could be safe in their jobs for a period of time till there's a turnaround, and till government are happy that there's a growth pattern that they could start to achieve in terms of employing more people and having more coaches on the ground and getting football into a better place. It's not pie in the sky dreaming for me. I think it's almost, you know, football getting paid back outside of the old association by a government that are kind of happy to be part of any success that Irish football has brought, and are happy to be seen, individuals over the years that are happy to be seen associated with football success, be it at a local level or international level, that a little bit of payback now in its darkest hour. I think the ones that are most at risk and the ones that you'd have most thought for are the employees. But we could go into a whole new sort of chapter there with the looking back at the culture of fear that was in there. I spoke about it when Minister Ross had a stakeholders get together in the Mansion House some months ago, and I brought up that very point, Ger, that these people who are tasked with going in every day and being the association's sort of bloodlines and being their messengers to the people, if they weren't enjoying it, if they're in a tough place, how can the game develop at all? And I think a strategy in there that puts the people on the ground working with footballers, with young girls, with young boys, with senior players, senior women, that whole structure to be handled by people at FAI who can go into work every day with a bounce in their step, knowing that the leaders there were supporting them. They were doing it for those workers. They were doing it for the job that they can do, the rollout of it in the country. And can government support that now? Can government believe that now is the time to intervene, especially to create a situation where there's better days ahead, to put today's day down as a marker of our last day of shame? It's all about growth going forward. I really think, the association, I believe it has to be rebranded. I've said it for months now. I didn't have to wait for these reports to come out or the accounts come out or anything else that's going to say. And if that could be possible, just like the Olympic Council, then who knows, we could get it into shape quickly. But, I've kind of gone through so much emotion like most people. There was anger way back March time, April, May. I thought, okay, there's a way out of this. The government's review group are going to get us into a great place. I wasn't happy, and nobody was. I don't think outside of the stakeholders themselves that the government's review group didn't go far enough, but nowhere near it, in my opinion. And now I've gone, you kind of get anger. Today it was shock. And now I'm saying, the quicker we all get ourselves into, let's think forward momentum here. Let's think of the future, and let's see, can government be the first person who have got so much, prominence in terms of, space on the front pages of the papers and the editorials here from the misfortunes of football? Can they be the ones to show some leadership now, 6 months ahead of an election, that football matters and it's big on manifestos and big on priorities when it comes to seeking the votes of the very people who need them most now?
One last question. You mentioned there the four independent directors. We're putting a lot of store in those four independent directors to be able to come in and be the transformative messianic figures almost that are going to save football. It's asking too much of four individuals, essentially, when, as you say, this has to be proper root and branch, or rebrand even, might help to go some way to change that.
Well, I tell you, give me any business or organisation in the world that's in the trouble that it's in now that brings in four volunteers to make it a truly brilliant international commercial entity that can fulfil all of its obligations. It is way too much to even ask of the four people coming in. I said that from the day it was announced, the day that the eight seats that would stay within the game, and that four new people would come in to make things work. Four people could come in doing 60, 80 hours a week work each, but ask them to come in on a part-time basis and you know, defeat that culture that exists in the FAI that's there laid bare in figures today, but we all know is there, you know, in almost in physicality, you could say, the way this thing was run. It's a huge lot to ask, and maybe sending four people in right now to see how they can turn it upside down and give them the power away from you know, just being four of 12, then, yeah, it may have a chance. But I just think it's a real tough task, particularly when it's they're looking for volunteers to do this and they're not there in a full-time capacity.
One last thing then. Obviously, we heard that three were stepping away this week. The brand has become somewhat toxic, but again, there is a hope that there are companies out there who appreciate the fact that the football team are, as you said, the nation's team. Like, there's no team that we have that generates as much support, as much debate as the senior international football team. And if they were to be able to qualify for a tournament where there were games in Ireland, then you would hope that there are brands out there who are like, yeah, I actually do want to be part of that. I do want to be part of the rebirth and regeneration of football in this country.
Well, that's right, yeah. And I think that's the starting point right there, you know, that there, hopefully there are other brands who will see that, you know, there's no association with the past, that this is all about going forward. And I would point, I think there was a car manufacturer who got in recent times as car sponsors, if I'm right there. So, you know, so there are people looking at opportunities because they know how big this is. And I'm disappointed, of course, as everyone is. Three, it looked, you know, a fabulous fit for everybody for so long. But it may represent opportunity. And again, I point back, you know, with the right commercial sort of office in play and with the dynamic, I suppose, modern way an organization could be ran, the first thing I'd have a brilliant commercial person knocking on every multinational's door who enjoys tax breaks in this country and say, if you really want to help this country in your, I suppose, in your role here and what you do here and the tax you pay, look at the people's game, look at football, and can we bring a contract together that the people would buy into, that your company would get great kudos for and great benefit from? And it would be the driving force to really start to regenerate the game. You know, we don't have the expertise within the association to even knock on that door. Never mind come up with the commercial plan. But I am sort of hopeful in one way that we have dynamic people out there who could be talked into being part of something new, something rebranded, something that could really stir and shake the business world, the coming in and supporting, you know, what is, I'll revert to it again, the people's game, and the one that gives us the most satisfaction, and particularly, as you say, when international events come along, when big games come, and when we qualify for tournaments. I mean, that's what, you know, sort of sets the whole thing away from the top. But we must always remember that the stuff right through the sort of pyramid is just as important, and ladies' football is coming into such prominence. You know, these are all things that multinationals love. You know, the equality, making sure that the girls get as much money as the boys. You know, there's so many things here that aren't even looked at from what's in place now. But I am confident that there are young people out there. There are great people coming into football. I think the Shamrock Rovers CEO is a brilliant, bright guy, Brendan, Shelburne. There's young people coming into the game now at a level. I think there's loads of room for that. If we can build an association that makes room for brilliant, bright young people to bring, you know, the old school away from the major decision-making. Yeah, great to have grey hair helping you with that. But I do believe there's a new world ahead. I think it should be younger people running it who are doing it in a more educated way, and leads to everything of coaches being better prepared to be employed in this country. You know, the whole game could be lit up. It really could, I think, with a rebrand, with an input of great commercial brilliance, passion, emotion, ambition, but honesty, above all, honesty. And I think if one thing comes out of today, you know, it's that football really has to be so visible in this country now. It cannot hide behind the cloak and dagger approach that brought it to its knees. It's time for a new beginning.
Niall, great stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this evening.
You're welcome. Thanks a million, Ger.
That's Niall Quinn there talking to us. Obviously, it's grim enough material that we're talking about this evening, but it is a historic level of debt that the FAI have reached today. And it's certainly as big a scandal. And the laying bare of the size of the scandal is what's happened today. Bear in mind that these reports have been, one of the reports has already been referred to, the Cosi report has already been referred to the Gardaí. So the story will continue to run and run. I just want to clarify that obviously I was talking about the brand of the FAI being toxic at this stage, and that's why three were stepping away from it. If you want to get in touch with us this evening, you can text us on 53106, or you can tweet us at Off The Ball.
Paddy Power, as much a part of Irish football as hoofing it up to Johnny Walters.